strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. It is the Mike Broomhead Show. I was just talking to Gatos about this, but I want to remind you, hunger is one of the greatest threats in our community. So this summer, you can help Gatos and Chad provide 100,000 meals to St. Mary's Food Bank for families in need. Every dollar you donate provides enough food for 7 meals. Together, we can ease hunger in Arizona. Text the word food to 411-923 and donate today. That's the word food to 411-923 and do that today. And it's Gatos and Chad and their Food Bank Fridays. This is a great, great way that we can help. St. Mary's Food Bank does such a great job. And this is a great way to help them. You know, again, a dollar provides 7 meals. Any donation is going to help, big or small. So please give whatever you can if you can. The CDC and their claims of outdoor transmissions. People have been arguing about this. And when you don't tell the truth, when you shade the truth, people get very upset because they can't really count on you. Senator Susan Collins from Maine, a Republican, was talking about this on and was talking about her distrust now of the CDC and their numbers.
I used to have the utmost respect for the guidance from the CDC. I always considered the CDC to be the gold standard. I don't anymore.
And so, again, is this partisan politics? Here we go. Well, Dr. Sanjay Gupta was on CNN and was talking about Senator Collins' comments.
It pains me to say this, but I see where she's coming from, Senator Collins, on this. I mean, I think for a long time, the concern was the CDC was providing guidance, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic that was not scientifically based. And as a result, we didn't do things that we should have done in this country that could have greatly mitigated what has happened here. And now I think it's almost a little bit of the reverse problem. The science is not necessarily being followed to the same extent. And as a result, we're probably doing things that we don't need to be doing.
So when the Center for Disease Control released new guidelines last month for mask wearing, it announced that less than 10% of COVID-19 transmissions were occurring outdoors. That now turns out to be closer to 0.1%, less than 1%. So this outdoor mask wearing, this constant battle of whether what we should do to keep safe and be safe, there is a difference between morphing data and better understanding and misinformation. There is a huge difference between the two. So Dr. Gupta goes on to say this about mask wearing.
In the end, the CDC needs to be just a science-based organization. What does the science say? You don't need to wear a mask outside. It's just one of these things that, you know, again, we've known this for some time. We didn't know in the beginning. We've all learned a lot over the past year.
So this is what the data is telling people. Follow the data, follow the science, here we go with this mask wearing stuff and people are arguing. So the people that refuse to wear masks, the people that are saying masks don't work, the people that are saying unless you're wearing a specific kind of mask, you're not doing any good. And the more we hear about the data, the more right people like that become. Again, I don't consider myself to be a sheep. I'm not a follower of anyone. But I'm a member of the community. So when a business owner asks me to wear a mask, I wear a mask. And I do that because I don't want to hassle a business owner that's trying to make a living in this pandemic. And I'm also someone that I'm not going to die on that hill. That's not going to be the fight that I'm going to die on. That's my choice. But I see the idiocy in the way people behave about masks. I mentioned a story. I was in the grocery store the other day, and there was a guy without a mask in the grocery store. One guy. People were looking at him like he was a leper. I thought, that is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Now, I'm someone who wears a mask because a business owner asks me to. And that's it. That's the extent of why I do it. I am fully vaccinated. Again, my choice to do that as well. And I want this pandemic to be over as much as anyone else. We understand what's happening. I think intellectually everyone understands what's happening. The fully vaccinated people here are not going to be required to carry a card around to say, this is why I'm not wearing a mask anywhere because I'm vaccinated, because you can't force someone to do that necessarily. So then they tell everybody you still have to wear masks. We're watching numbers drop dramatically. Here in Arizona, it was a very good day. We are seeing numbers remain steady in hospitalizations. We are seeing positive testing rates remain steady here in Arizona. Arizona. Things are gradually getting back to normal. I don't understand why there are those among us that want to slow down the progress. They keep saying, wait a little longer, wait a little longer, wait a little longer. There are people out there that haven't been vaccinated yet. The vaccine's available. And so those people better hurry up. Get vaccinated. You know, there have been over 3 million doses. At least 3 million people have received at least one dose here in Arizona. That's approaching 50% of our population. Yesterday, there were 11,000 doses administered. The day before that, there were 21,000 doses administered. We are trying to get to that herd immunity. But there are going to be people that don't want and are not going to get this vaccine. Good for them. They have, I don't want to fight with people. I have no reason to criticize those people. They have every right to decide what goes into their body, every right to decide what they inject in their body. And in the end, for all of us out there that are vaccinated, let's be honest, they are at risk. We aren't. And so they know the risk they're taking if they believe there's any risk whatsoever. This is still a free country. But when the CDC can't be trusted, and it looks like they've Dr. Gupta is no fan of Donald Trump necessarily. He started off that comment by saying, in the beginning, the CDC didn't do their job the right way. So we didn't do things we should have done at the very beginning of COVID-19. And now they're not doing their job. And we're doing things we don't need to be doing because of COVID-19. The government is trying to get people to get vaccinated. The government is trying to encourage people to get the vaccine. And yet we're still hearing, wear a mask, stay far apart from each other. Why are younger people who are not at real risk of death or serious illness from COVID-19? They are not the ones that are at high risk. They're at a lower risk of any of serious illness from COVID-19. What incentive do they have to go out of their way to get the vaccine if they still have to wear a mask and they can't live their lives? Why would they do it? You want to know why we're slowing down? It's not that people don't care. People do care. But their lives are not changing at all. So why are they wasting their time? It doesn't make any sense. And once this vaccine is in your doctor's office and it's in the pharmacies and it's in everywhere where you just walk in and they do it, it may change some. But until you incentivize people to realize, and the big thing is normalcy. When can I take my mask off? When can I go to a concert? When do I, you know, the UK put out guidance yesterday about hugging. That they're getting back to some sense of normalcy in the UK, and hugging should be used with discretion. I mean, governments around the world have gone out of their minds. Here in the United States, the CDC is sending out misinformation. Dr. Fauci at the beginning of this admitted he didn't tell the truth about masks because he says he didn't want there to be a run on masks like there was on toilet paper. That's not leadership. And people have a right to be angry when they see things like this. Coming up in a moment, the Arizona Secretary of State has requested that the people running the audit talk about security. I'm going to tell you why and do that coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. It's the Mike Broomhead Show. Happy Wednesday. Big, deep cleansing breath. Let's talk about the audit for just a moment. We've got to talk about what's happening. The Secretary of State makes a good point, and we've had our differences, you know, obviously political parties and stuff, but there are things we've had conversations before about things about voting, and there have been things I've disagreed with the Secretary of State about. But in this case, I think she's making a point that I think would benefit the people that are doing the audit. I don't think this is a criticism. I think this is of great benefit. The Secretary of State is demanding, that's a strong word, but demanding details about how voting equipment and nearly 2.1 million ballots will be secured when the state Senate ordered audit goes on planned hiatus. So most of you know, but if you don't, they are counting ballots, and Friday, the 14th, will be the last day that they are able to be in the Coliseum for a while because high school graduations were already scheduled in that facility, which means they're going to have to pack up everything, all of their equipment and all of those ballots, and move them somewhere else outside of that building for at least 4 or 5 days. So that being said, they've got to take them to a secure facility. It has to go somewhere secure because you're talking about the ballots and voting equipment. And after everything that we've seen so far with the audit, I think this is a place where this would be a good idea for them to have a security plan that they show everybody and say, this is what we're doing. Now, you're not going to give them all the details so that somebody looking to compromise it could. But what you're going to do is talk to people about how you're going to secure their ballots. Again, the partisan politics of everything does make, well, sometimes it really bothers me. Most of the time, it just makes me laugh because you can predict how both sides of the aisle are going to answer a question when it becomes solely political. They're going to see things through a political prism. And there are people in our world that do things like that where they see everything through their prism, whether it's a civil rights prism, whether it's a gay rights prism, whether it's a women's rights prism. There are people that are so focused on their, they're almost myopic in the way they view things. It's always viewed through that lens. The political lens is just as dangerous sometimes. But talk through this. There is not just Republican ballots. There are not just Democrat or independent or libertarian ballots. These are all of the ballots that were cast in Maricopa County. Every one of them, of all political stripes, are in these boxes at the Coliseum. There have been questions about security at the beginning. There are questions about motives. There are questions about practices. And a lot of those have gone unanswered. Now, the security question was fixed. They have decent security there now, or better security, I should say. And now they're going to be moving from that facility somewhere else. Here's an opportunity for the people that are leading this to be able to say, of course, we have a security plan. Here's our plan. This is what our plan is. And even if you don't go public with a lot of the details that are that might compromise the security, providing that to the Secretary of State who oversees all the elections and say, listen, you make a good point here. Forget the politics of this. And there may be a big political motivation here from the Secretary of State. And I guarantee you that when that race comes up, whether she runs for this office again, which is it comes up in less than 2 years, or she runs for the governor's office in less than 2 years, whatever she may run for, I guarantee you this is going to become political, that this subject of the of this audit is going to play a large role in those elections. There's no doubt that that's going to happen. And this is an opportunity for the people running this to say we have a security plan because, of course, we are going to safeguard everybody's ballots. And it makes everybody feel better. I don't think there's any issue with that whatsoever. Now, there is a here in Maricopa County, Bill Gates, the election supervisor in Maricopa County, says the audit of votes in his state is based on a lie of election fraud and tearing at the foundation of our democracy. Now, I've known Bill for a long time. We don't know each other very well, but I know Bill Gates. And you're starting to hear more and more Republicans speak out and say this. What I think the people that are doing the audit didn't count on was, or didn't take into consideration, not about count on, but didn't take into consideration, was when people vote, they expect their ballot to count, but they expect things to be private. They don't expect that someone's going to be looking at their ballot again once it's counted, that our people aren't going to have access to it. And it's not a distrust for any one individual. I'm just speaking from my own experience. But I don't want anybody messing with my ballot. I don't know what you're doing with it. I don't know why you're doing what you're doing. And I don't want you messing with my ballot. There are certain things around us that are sacred. You know, there are things that you just don't do. You don't throw a Bible on the floor. It's just a book. Let's be honest, right? It's just a book. What's in it is what's important. But the pages of that book are just another book. People generally don't throw the Bible on the floor. It's just something you don't do. It seems disrespectful. Why? Because the what's in that book matters. What's in that book is sacred to so many people. When you walk into a church, you usually lower your voice. It's just a natural thing that people do out of a sign of respect. When people cast a ballot, they don't expect that another group of people are going to come in and manipulate it, that they are going to do things with that ballot, that they are going to go over it, they're going to black light it, they're going to look for bamboo, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. I don't think that the people that are auditing understand that that everybody is suspicious when you start manipulating, when you start handling the ballots of the voters. I think that there are a lot of people that want to make sure that the elections are and were fair. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you start doing things that compromise security in any way, people get concerned and politics goes out the window. So more and more Republicans are starting to look at this and say, this is not what we had hoped for. We didn't want to see a group that was hired that's going to come in and look for bamboo in the paper because some guy somewhere said something. And we don't want to look for, conspiracy theories when we heard that there might be some kind of watermarks on the ballots. You know, we wanted to know that it was done fairly. And I think there's more and more Republicans that are seeing this, and are, especially if they're elected or want to run for office, and are saying that the principle of making sure the election was fair is something I absolutely agree with. The practice of what's happening right now is something we need to stay far, far away from. And we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if this audit ends on the 14th, if they never come back, if something isn't done in the meantime. We'll see. In a moment. Did President Biden cause inflation? We're going to talk about the economy and what's going on. The numbers are staggering.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Comedian Sebastian Maniscalco is bringing his Nobody Does This tour to Arizona Federal Theater on August 13th. Tickets will go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m., but you can win a pair early by heading over to the contest page at KTAR.com. Let's talk about the economy and some of the things that are happening. Now, we know about what's happening on the East Coast and the pipeline, and so we know that the gas lines there are part of the problem with the gas line. But we are seeing prices increase at the highest or the fastest rate since 2008. Inflation is already gripping us. We have not even seen the tax increases that are coming. But there are two aspects of governing in the federal government that affect business the most. And if you ask business people which is worse, overregulation or taxation, there are many companies that really will say it's a toss-up, that overregulation is one of the things that do things the most. Now, we are seeing a ripple effect. There's a cause and effect to a lot of things. And when you have supply chain issues, there are companies that are saying the prices are going up because there's a shortage of workers, that they're paying a lot more money because they can't get people to come back to work. Now, they can deny this in the White House and say that there's no role played in unemployment. But when you talk about millions of jobs, over 8 million jobs available in this country, and yet we are doubling down on what we're talking about, these stimulus payments and these the packages to stimulate the economy and to keep people going. COVID-19 devastated a lot of individuals and a lot of companies, and there were things that the federal government did financially to help get people through. But when you see COVID-19 ending, that's why having dates on a lot of these things and how long we're going to pay people that extend well beyond what is a date that's necessary, this is the danger. Companies are ready to go back to work. People are ready to go back to do some into some sense of normalcy. And there are people that are refusing to go back to work or can't go back to work. I talked about there are people that are gaming the system. What I mean by that is they could find a job or they could go back to their old job, but they're not doing that because they're making as much or maybe more money or close to the same amount of money sitting at home. Others got to get their kids, got to get them in school, because if they're not in school, a parent is stuck at home with them and they might as well collect unemployment while they're doing it. But inflation is up. Consumer prices jump 4.2%, which is the fastest growth since 2008. We saw this start with gas prices. You heard during the newscast when Taylor was talking about gas prices being up, I think, 2 cents overnight, 5 cents for the week, or maybe more than that. We are seeing a big jump in prices. Took a picture myself the other day. I predicted this when the election was over. I mean, I'm no genius. If you've listened to the show, I'm just as regular as anybody else out there. I'm not an economist, but I'm a realist, and I've been in business before, and I've watched what happens with gas prices closely, because when you're paying for gas for multiple vehicles during the day, it adds up, and it cuts directly into your profits. For the average American working family, that is the fastest tax increase or tax decrease you can give a working family are gas prices. Say what you will And there are a lot of people that have a lot of negative things to say about the previous administration. But for the first time in half a century, the United States was energy independent. We didn't need foreign oil. We didn't need any of that stuff to exist. Gas prices were down, and it weren't down just because of lack of use in COVID. We had years before that of another administration, and the gas prices were at the floor. American companies were manufacturing it. American companies were pulling the oil out of the ground, refining it and distributing it. We had energy independence, which, by the way, we had talked about a couple of decades ago after 9/11. We had talked about being energy independent was a national security issue. When you're dealing with OPEC, when you're dealing with foreign countries that are sometimes our enemy, our sworn enemy, and we're counting on some of those regions to get us the oil we need to live on and to deal with, it was a national security issue. We talked about energy independence. Now, the differences were we heard the Democrats at that time pushing alternative fuels, which isn't a bad thing. But when you're talking about solar and wind and these other things, but we are always going to have a need for oil. We're always going to have a need for it. And we became energy independent. And so now it isn't about taxation yet, because the taxation hasn't happened yet. But we know gas prices are going up because of what's happening to the fossil fuel industry. So first it was the storm in Texas, that was the big problem with gas prices. Now on the East Coast, it's the pipeline. People are saying, well, you're coming out of COVID and there's a higher demand for gasoline. Well, the demand for gasoline is going back to where it was pre-COVID. Gas prices were still way lower pre-COVID. There is something there. For every action, there is a reaction. When you apply more pressure to an industry, it costs more money. When you are telling the oil industry they can't pull oil out of the ground, they can't do fracking, it's going to cost more money to do business, you're going to run them out of business, you are paying the price at the pump. The oil companies are not. When more, it costs more for a barrel of oil because there's less of it being produced, because we aren't as energy independent, that we're importing some of it, you are starting to see the price of oil go up. Oil goes up, manufacturing and refinement goes up, and it costs more at the pump. Not only that, they're talking about adding a per mile tax in the near future because cars are more fuel efficient. So it's going to cost more for those vehicles. So all you small business owners, you're going to pay more. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure these things out. And again, you want to take partisan issues out of it. I do too. I want what's best. Working families deserve a break. Small business owners that have made it through the grinder of COVID-19 and are looking at better days ahead are looking at this and saying, we're getting hammered with a tax increase. We're getting hammered with regulation increase. We've got to pay more money for fuel. We can't find employees that we need. This is turning into a very rough road for good people. National average gasoline prices over $3 a gallon. Groceries are getting more expensive due to a labor shortage across the industry, according to experts. And the stock futures fell because of inflation data spiked. So I'm not a doom and gloomer at all. I'm somebody that's been a glass half full person my whole life. The economy getting much better in the U.S. is a great thing. But we have an opportunity to seize this economy and do great things, do amazing things. And we are setting up policies and putting things in place that are hindering growth of these businesses. For the crowd out there that is a part of the punish the rich crowd, when will you learn that the rich will still pass down what happens to everyone else? For the people that talk about corporate greed and going after corporate America and all these other things, when you raise their cost of living, when it costs more to manufacture and distribute what they manufacture and distribute, they are going to pass that cost on to the consumer. And we're seeing the effects of these policies right now. Now, the pipeline issue is a big issue on the East Coast. Gas prices were going way up before that. And they're going to continue to go way up long after that. And it also would be an issue that would be more easy to deal with if we didn't have the policies in place that we do. And the argument about it is great. I love the conversation with people about whether or not it's caused by these policies. Well, I don't see how anybody can argue that it isn't. Because it absolutely is. And it's a shame that we're watching what should be a great year of growth. And we're seeing inflation. And so you're not going to get a pay raise because your boss is spending more money on business and keeping the business running. So you're not going to get a raise. And your cost of living is increasing. Prices went up over 4% in 1 month. Did you get a raise? Well, your money isn't going as far. That's what this all means. Governor Ducey signed an election bill yesterday. We're going to go over the details of what's in SB 1485 in early voting. That happens next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with us. Coming up just after 10 o'clock, we're going to talk about the border. We've got a guest coming on named Roy Herrera, who is a Democratic strategist. I want to talk to him about the Democrat senators in Arizona kind of taking the side of actually opposing the president of the United States. So that's coming up. Governor Ducey signs a bill that will purge some early voters from the list. I want you to hear a description of this as the governor explains Senate Bill 1485.
Today, I'm signing SB 1485. This bill is simple. It's all about election integrity. If an individual is signed up to automatically be mailed an early ballot and then stops voting entirely for a full 4 years, their county recorder will ask them if they still want to automatically be mailed a ballot. If they respond, they'll continue receiving one. If they don't respond, here's what happens. They will remain a registered voter. They can still request an early ballot. And they can also show up at the polls in person on election day.
So I can't see why anybody would be upset with this. It's not voter it's intimidation. It is not marginalizing voters. What it's doing is it's cleaning up the old rolls. There is absolutely nothing wrong. This is actually something everyone should be happy about. People that die, people that move, people that decide not to vote. And why are we sending ballots out? Now, again, I'm not accusing anyone of fraud, but you are giving someone an opportunity. You send a ballot out, and then who knows what could happen to it. Now, what's going on with the election audit has got all kinds of people talking about things and conspiracies. But when there is common sense legislation that helps maintain the integrity of the vote, everyone should be happy. And I don't know what one complaint could be about Senate Bill 1485. Before they drop people from the rolls, so you have to not vote for 4 consecutive years with an early ballot. If you don't vote for 4 consecutive years, the county recorder in your county will contact you via mail or email or however they're going to do it and ask you if you would like to continue to be to receive early ballots. If you don't respond, they will stop sending the ballots. They're not revoking your voter registration. They're not doing any of that. They're going to stop mailing ballots. There are a lot of people that would want this to be a little bit more strict, that there should be, you know, you should have to, every time you want to vote early, you should request a ballot. Whatever. Maricopa County, the state of Arizona, does a good job with the way we do mail-in ballots. This is one more way to make sure that unwanted ballots are not being out in the community. There's no problem with it. Matter of fact, here's what the governor said. This is why he likes this measure.
This change will ensure that active voters continue to receive a ballot and free up resources for county recorders to use on priorities like election security and voter education.
And again, you also don't have the printing costs, you don't have the mailing costs, whatever that is. This is a good idea. The pushback on good things, the pushback on things that are not bad for the community always makes the fight continue on and on and on. Choose your battles. There's plenty of things out there to be angry about or upset about. When people talk about voting and voter intimidation, it just isn't true. You know, the UK is getting ready to go to a system when their elections that you have to show photo ID in order to vote. It's one of the areas I am completely baffled by, that you don't have to identify yourself to vote. You have to show a piece of paper with an address, but there is no real identification to vote. I can't think of any other aspect of my life where they don't need a driver's license. When you get any official document notarized, they want to see your driver's license. They write your driver's license down. You go to cash a check. whatever it is, you have to provide identification. So having an ID is a part of everyday life. The idea that having voters identify themselves at the polls is voter intimidation, and it is marginalizing voters in the black community or the Hispanic community is an absolute joke. It's a lie. It's just a flat out lie. I don't want to see fraud any more than anyone else does. I want the elections to remain very easy for people to do, and I want them to be clean. I want them to be pure, like everyone else does. Just count the votes. I don't want to win by cheating, and I don't want to lose by cheating. And whatever we can do to make sure that everybody understands that we are voting fairly is a good thing. How many people out there that vote in a percentage would you think in your mind? How many voters do not have a photo ID? What would that number be in percentages? How low would that percentage be? And yet, in this country, if you say, I want you to have an ID to vote, you're seen as somehow you are trying to marginalize a community and intimidate them in not voting. How? I expect everyone to have an ID when you cash a check. Everyone has an ID when they have a document notarized. Everyone has an ID for a number of things when you go places that they want to see your identification. And somehow this is one area where we're intimidating people when we ask them to do that. It doesn't make any sense. It makes zero sense whatsoever. And hopefully this gets put to bed pretty quickly, this argument. Now, as far as the early voter rolls go, how can you argue with this as well? We're mailing out official ballots to people that are never being returned. And if you don't vote 4 straight years, they're going to ask you, hey, we're mailing you these things. Do you still want them? And if you don't respond, then they are just going to not mail them to you anymore. You can go to the polls and vote, or you can request another early ballot. I don't see the issue. And anyone else shouldn't really see the issue either. Just after 10 o'clock, we have to talk about the border. Over 178,000 apprehensions at the border. It sets a brand new record. We're going to talk with Roy Herrera, Democrat strategist, about this. So stick around.